KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you this afternoon, and I'm joined in studio by State Senator Crystal Brantley. He's actually on the Calvary campus today for kind of a sad but also a celebratory time. Mark Tobiasen, the husband of Nicole Tobiasen, one of your fellow state senators, is having a celebration of life service right after we're on the radio. So, Crystal, I'm going to have you start our interview by talking to us a little bit about how you're supporting Nicole and the friendship you developed serving together.
Well, I'm certainly not the only senator here. In fact, I believe my entire Republican Senate caucus is up here to support our friend Nicole and just to encourage her and let her know that we are here to support her and also celebrate Mark as well. You know, we have the honor of serving together as lawmakers, but our greatest and most important work will always be the work that we do back home and our family back home. And it's what keeps us going up there in Santa Fe, and so we recognize that this loss for her is going to have a profound impact on her work there in the Senate, and we are here to support her.
Do you ever get the feeling as you serve, and by the way, thank you for serving, because that's not an easy thing. You're away from your family for 30 days, 60 days, and you told me last time we spoke that it's not 30 days or 60 days. You're working all year round.
We work all year round, and even in a 60-day session, we arrive early to prepare for those committees. But you're right, we have legislative interim meetings that take us all over the state and away from home. If you're doing your job while you're back home, which is really my favorite part of the work, is the work I do in district, we're called out every day to serve someone in our community. It's why we enjoy the work. But, you know, I say that my girls, my two daughters, are the reason that I go to Santa Fe, and they're the same reason that I can't wait to leave Santa Fe.
Yeah, amen to that. Do you ever get the feeling that people see you as a public servant but don't really understand that family component? And maybe you could comment on something that people should know about Nicole and her family and why she's so special.
Well, Nicole's a new senator. She's still a freshman senator, very new to the Senate. And one of the reasons why I think that she has adapted so well and she's been so successful there is because she has found it. She's grounded in family back home. She's also a small business owner. She's been engaged with the community. And because of all of that, it makes her a better senator when she is in Santa Fe, right? But, you know, we if we're going to be the party that kind of fights for family values, we need to always remember where we're rooted in. And it's clear that her heart is back home. Mark has been sick for a long time. She's been able to share those stories and her frustrations with her firsthand experience of how the state could have stepped in, maybe prevented some of this in ways that we support our medical community and access for those that are unhealthy here in New Mexico. And she shared those struggles and with members of the Senate and with everyone, you know, and she's done a great job of sharing that story. We all know Mark well, and I feel like us being here, I hope that she feels supported and she is at peace, and we are all gathered here to send Mark off with a farewell. And
in our second segment, we're going to talk a little politics, and one of the things that you wanted to emphasize when you came in today is you want to emphasize that there are some victories, and you just mentioned medical care workers and that kind of thing. There were some successes in our past legislative session, but we'll wait till the second segment today with you. You're going to be with us till 1:30.
Sure.
I want to ask you about your district, District 35, because that's really a huge geography.
It's massive. So I represent 25% of the land mass of New Mexico. So I have the southwest corner. So between myself and Senator Pete Campos, who also has an enormous district, we represent half the state, right? Now, of course, our districts are made up of the same population. So I do have more cows than people in my seven counties, but it's a very rural district. And I say that, but yet I go in quite a bit and take up a lot. 50% of my vote comes from Las Cruces. That's originally my hometown. Las Cruces is certainly not what we consider, that's not what Catron County considers rural, right? And so it's more of an urban area.
No, that's the big city, right?
It's the big city of Las Cruces. So I do come in and take in Las Cruces, my urban area, but geographically, it's a massive district. I reside in Sierra County right there at Elephant Butte Lake. So centrally located within my district, and I zoomed down from Las Cruces up to Santa Fe. I know the interstate well.
You talk about Las Cruces. I think if you're in Las Cruces, you don't perceive just Las Cruces. I mean, all the way down to El Paso, that's one city.
It's huge. It is growing. It is growing. And for those of us in southern New Mexico, it's often where we go to trade, right? To shop, to visit doctors, schools, football games. Most of us are Aggie fans down there, so we travel to Cruces often. But it's not lost on me that I represent some of the most rural parts of New Mexico as well, and that's including Hidalgo, Catron County, areas that don't have the resources. And so when I was running for this Senate seat, it was very clear to me that the divide in Santa Fe isn't as much Republican versus Democrat as it is rural versus urban. And I believe that now. I think many times that the lawmakers from here in Albuquerque with more of a progressive lean to them feel that they have the right to speak for all of New Mexico. And many times the laws they want to put in place or policies are not something that would fit or mold to rural New Mexico.
Let's give an example of that. Like I can tell you, I've lived in Albuquerque basically my whole life. We're not real worried about ranching and agriculture and water rights and wildfires don't really affect us. Border communities, land use, small business in a rural town. So talk to us about those differences.
You're right. You specifically mentioned the border. So when I won in 2000, I was the first female and first Republican to ever hold this seat since statehood. So I was sent here to Santa Fe by Democrat voters. And a lot of that is because I believe that there's been a hijacking of the Democrat Party. I have a very district that makes up a lot of rural professions. You mentioned farming, ranching, a religious, I believe that there's a strong Catholic following. And so all I had to do was be very clear that while they may be registered Dem and I'm registered Republican, my party right now represents more of the values that they hold dear. And I've never asked someone to switch parties, but there's been a hijacking of their party. And so if they want those values represented, I was the better candidate. They've continued to send me up to Santa Fe to fight for those values that don't have a partisan, tag on them. The border communities, absolutely. Look, everyone wants safe communities. They want to live in safe neighborhoods, safe communities. We have certainly seen that in the last year. There has been an enormous shift down there of just safer areas and Deming and Lordsburg. We're very thankful for that. We've had a wide open border for so many years before that. We can read in the news what's been a result of that.
And did residents feel danger from that?
Absolutely. I mean, there was kidnapping. Absolutely. They were in danger. Even our law enforcement, I recently did a ride along with state police down there in Hidalgo and Luna County. And even they said they have seen a noticeable decrease in the amount of criminal activity coming. That means our law enforcement officers are safer. Our communities are safer. Also very important, of course, you mentioned is our farming and ranching communities and what that looks like. But it's more than just a profession and industry. It's a way of life. So I'll give an example of the attempt for Santa Fe to outlaw a 4-day school week. And while that may not look correct and work for Albuquerque, in areas like Winston, New Mexico or Cuamato that ride a school bus for over an hour, well over an hour, getting home long before the sunset, it does work. A 4-day school week makes sense. A lot of these people are traveling in from many, many miles away to come into the school district. And so if you could go longer hours during a Monday through Thursday, let's say, it works. And they were getting, and not to mention the thing that really upset us is those were our higher performing schools. And so we turned to some of these urban lawmakers and say, you take care of your own schools before you start telling us how to operate these school weeks. But often we see in Santa Fe an attempt to do one-size-fits-all lawmaking, and that doesn't work. Doesn't work for some of my communities. What may work in Santa Fe doesn't work, in Socorro.
This isn't on our list, but I just thought of it as you're speaking. You're really representing your people, regardless of how they're registered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is there something different about serving that community than you expected after you got going as a senator?
No. I'm a mother first, right? I'm a mother, I'm a wife, I'm a business owner, I'm a senator. The last thing I want to introduce myself is as a Republican. What difference does it make? I'm a New Mexican that wants to see a better New Mexico for all. And so I think that's what I lead with is we're all New Mexicans. We want safe communities. We want better schools. We want clean water and air. I mean, we all ultimately just want a more prosperous place to live. And I recognize the impact and the power that the policies that we're putting in place are holding us back. And so I just lean into that, lean into the values that we want to see reflected across this state. And that doesn't come with a party line.
I think if we were all to pay attention to the media, we wouldn't think there's a lot of bipartisan cooperation. But every time I've talked to you, that's one of the first things you bring. You do work well with other people.
I work well with other people, yet, you know, I'm sure that the governor would maybe disagree on some issues. I've been pretty hard on her, especially on CYFD and a number of policies. But it's not based on partisan. It's on policies. It's not on party platforms. Recently, the Albuquerque Greater Chamber awarded me to that we need to stop making these Democrat issues Republican issues. We need to identify issues that would move New Mexico forward together and really lean into that together. And there's so many stuff that we could do. Do we want safer communities? Yes. Do we want our children, our most vulnerable children, the ones in the CYFD system, to be safer? Yes. We want our educational outcomes to be higher? Absolutely. So let's lean into the areas that we agree on. And, you know, I say this a lot, but I'm not expected to go up there and reinvent the wheel. Look at other states that are doing things really, really well, and let's put those policies in place. And I often get very frustrated that we seem to take a back seat to that. And I think that there are a number of radical left-leaning lawmakers in Santa Fe that are way out of touch with the values of New Mexico. I don't think that they best reflect the voters of their own district. They often go unopposed, and they are reelected again and again because they are unopposed. And that is because New Mexicans need to get engaged, not just at the ballot box, but we need to start building the bench on both sides of more common sense people to run for office. And that starts in getting involved in your community.
I love that. I'm going to take a quick break and say thank you to our sponsors. And we do appreciate them. You know, we're a non-commercial, nonprofit station, but we have a really loyal audience, and these sponsors help us stay on the air. When we come back, though, I'm going to allow you to embellish a little bit. I know with medical care workers, there was some bipartisan support for some things in our last session. I think you're optimistic to achieve even more in the upcoming session. But we're going to let you talk a little bit about the upcoming election. And then I'm going to have you close by maybe offering a challenge to the faith community about voting. We'll be back with State Senator Crystal Brantley right after these messages. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. State Senator Crystal Brantley is in studio with us today. We thank you for listening on ABQ Connect. Upcoming 4th of July celebration, a celebration of America. Senator Brantley, not only are you a New Mexican, but you're also a faithful American, and I hope you're going to have a neat celebration with your family.
On Elephant Butte Lake. So
there you go.
All of the many Albuquereans I know that travel down there, because I think our population gets up to 100,000 on that lake. Come on down. Let's have a safe 4th of July celebration.
I think that's fabulous. So I promised before the break that we talk about some of the bipartisan things that happened in our last session. Why don't you take the ball?
We had a fantastic session. So again, Jim, I serve in the minority, and so we can't do anything alone. That's a little bit frustrating, right? Because we see some of the worst policies pass, and we're trying to advance what we think would be policies of prosperity, and gets shut down so much. But all things considered, we really had a successful legislative session. Some of the largest highlights, SB 18 was actually killing a bill. It's called Clear Horizons. But this bill was such an overreach. It would have a profound impact on every single industry, really just bringing small business to a screeching halt. We were able to kill that on the Senate floor. The President Pro Tem was the sponsor of that bill, of all people, by just demonstrating how terrible and what an overreach that bill was. Big win for New Mexico. We also had the passage of some public safety bills. Now, look, I have the honor of serving as the ranking minority member on Senate Judiciary. I do not believe we are doing enough to fight back on this crime rate and to support our law enforcement officers. But we did have some small victories. I managed to co-sponsor a bill with Democrat Senator Mo Maestas called Harm to Self and Others. The governor gave that a call that allows our law enforcement officers to come in for those that are clearly having some sort of mental health crisis and detain them, to keep them safe from themselves and to keep them safe from others. And so that was a great expansion of the law. But the biggest victory I want to talk about was medical malpractice reform. And I want to walk through the story of that, because that bill started with bipartisan support in the House, many, many hours of negotiation with either the governor, with trial attorneys, and with the medical community, who came out in fair negotiations with a bill, consistent bill. And yet when that bill crossed the chamber, came over to Senate Judiciary, it was hijacked by members of Senate Judiciary, by trial attorneys that went against and reneged on that deal, and instead made that bill so terrible that they knew darn well the governor was either not going to sign it, or if it was signed, it was still pretty good for trial attorneys. They were still going to make a dollar, quite a bit of money, and really would do nothing in the big picture of assisting our doctors and our medical communities by reducing those outrageous insurance fees. So that bill made it to the Senate floor, and I carried an amendment to restore it to the original agreed bipartisan form, to in good faith that we all needed to do what was right and restore that bill. And it was a heck of a debate. I am not an attorney. I stand in the very front row. I sit in the front row. And when we debate bills, we have to look forward all the time. And so I'm looking at either the lieutenant governor or a blank wall when I debate. And I was debating trial attorneys.
You mean you're not allowed to turn around and eyeball people?
Nope. They can look at the back of my head and I cannot turn around. And I gave it one heck of a debate to restore that. Little did I know that my entire caucus was standing up behind me. They stood during the debate, standing in support. And my leader, Senator Bill Scheer, told the caucus as I'm debating this, that this is spiritual warfare here, to stand up, to engage in this fight. And when it came down to a vote, I'll be darned if we didn't have the votes to pass that amendment to restore it to the original intent. It went on to get signed by the governor. The reason why we were not just the power of prayer that helped us get that passed, but really the power of engagement. The medical community, the white coats sat up there. They had fought hard for that bill. And it was because the people spoke. The people's voice was louder than the political pressure that tried to take and hijack their bill.
That's a point you made to me off the air when you first came in today, is that it's almost like everybody serving was forced to do the right thing because the people spoke.
They demanded it. And that's encouragement. What we saw there was an example that politics is not all lost. You know, often people say, well, it doesn't matter, my voice doesn't count. Their voice does count. And doctors, mainly the Albuquerque Medical Association, can attest and say, no, for so many years we went up there, we were so loud they couldn't ignore us. We were so loud that we promised we would work against them. They are, you know, politicians are motivated by money and votes. And when they say they will come out and make sure that you are unelected if you don't step in and help this medical community across New Mexico that was in crisis. And I say this because to our rural communities, our farmers and ranchers, get engaged. Let us hear your voice in Santa Fe. To the Christian community that wants their values, you know, fought for in Santa Fe, get involved, get engaged. Elections have consequences, but no matter who is up there, remember that we work for you. We are a servant to New Mexicans. We work for you. Make sure that we are doing the work that you want us to do.
You're a very strong woman. You're doing amazing service. You have to put up, you have to have the thick skin about a lot of things. I am not as nice as you are. So I want you, in my way, I'm going to ask you a question. You won't be as mean as me, but I want you to call out the faith community. We have such pathetic numbers when it comes to actually showing up to vote. You know, maybe you could say why and how much effect could we have as a community on our state if we actually came out and voted in force?
If we actually showed up to the polls, we would change the election. I mean, we would change elections. The consequences would be different. And I would say this, we had such an amazing and successful legislative session in the minority. We don't need to be in the majority, but if we could just pick up 2, 3, 4 seats, it changes the way that these committees are made up. And that's where we kill or pass bills, is what happens in committee. Right now, Albuquerque has the opportunity to flip some House seats. Thankfully, the Senate is not up. We're on the ballot with the president, so no Senates are up on the ballot. But we have the opportunity to retain some good House members and to flip some House seats. Even picking up 2 or 3 seats would be able to prevent bad bills from getting through and moving some of the good stuff. And so if you want your Christian values promoted and protected by your lawmakers, get out to the ballot boxes. And I say this, it's not just lawmakers, right? Legislative races. I started on the school board. You know where it starts? It starts in your own community. Get engaged. And if this is important that your leaders are representing your values, run for school board, local county commissions, get involved and work your way up. It's not just our seats, build a bench. But we need warriors to gather, those of us that are of like-minded, that want to see these family values. And I don't think that comes with a party label.
What do you think, what issues, if you could say two issues, are most prevalent on your mind for the whole state? I know you've already talked to us a little bit about your district and how those rural concerns may be different than, say, Albuquerque or Las Cruces, but what do you think for our whole state? What are the two most prominent issues we need to think about?
First, I would say the cost of living. And there are policies we can put in place, everything from the tax structures. We overregulate businesses. We are not a friendly business climate, so we don't attract businesses to come here. Therefore, we don't have the jobs. And the cost of living of everything goes up and up and up, right? Because those businesses have to pass those prices on to consumers. Cost of living and what we're going to do about that. And two, I will tell you that crime and public safety is no longer an Albuquerque issue. Mm. It used to be. We used to point to Albuquerque and say that's only stuff that happens in the big city. It has now gotten so bad because we have ignored this. We refuse to hold criminals accountable. We have a revolving door of criminals that let the same, our law enforcement officers are telling us, we arrest the same offenders again and again because we refuse to hold the bad apples in jail. If we could crack down on some basic public safety, many of these proposals are bipartisan, which is so frustrating why we can't get this across the finish line. Everyone wants safer communities and we deserve it.
I know you understand this concept. Hard work is not complicated.
No.
But sometimes when people work hard, they use the word complicated. Solving these problems is not complicated.
It's not complicated and it's not a partisan issue. I mean, some of the best public safety policies we had from your Democrat district attorney. Right? We have from my Democrat district attorney down in the Las Cruces area, and it was supported by our by a Democrat governor, and we just cannot get it. These bills heard in the committee process in the legislature because some radical leftists just don't believe that a criminal should spend a single night in jail, especially we need to address the juvenile crime rate. We have a generation of criminals coming up that are more violent than ever before, and it's because there's just no consequences put in place. It's a shame and it's dangerous.
Yeah, amen to that. Senator Brantley, you're on the campus of Calvary today and with us in our studio because you're here to support your friend and a co-laborer at the New Mexico legislature, Nicole Tobiasen. She lost her husband, Mark. I knew them because their kids went to Hope and talk with them a little bit over the years. I know they're business owners. I think they're business coaches.
Yes.
And the whole caucus you mentioned is going to be here in support. A celebration of life is different than a funeral. And this is really going to be a celebration. Thank you for being here. And, you know, tell us how Nicole, being a freshman senator, has helped you in what you're doing with the legislature.
She has had she came in, you know, she is all fire. And she has really been a great asset on our caucus there in Santa Fe, not just in medical issues, but I've teamed up with her on some number of CYFD issues. She's tackled the budget and really fought for conservative spending when it comes to her role in Senate Finance. And Mark became part of our family as well. You know, they've done some great work. I know that they've been valuable members of the Albuquerque community and impacted so many people. And so you're right. We're here to celebrate Mark's life. We're here to support Nicole as she continues on. And I have no doubt that Mark will be with her as she continues to fight for the values that they cherished.
Mark and I joked at one time that you could tell if somebody was filled with the Holy Spirit because they're over 6'5". He's a big, tall guy, and so am I, but we just did that as a joke, obviously. It's amazing what you do, the energy that you have. I see you on social media. How can people follow you, and what's the best way? I know you try to keep people informed. What's the best way for them to follow what you're saying?
Yeah, please do. I try to keep a social media presence, especially on Facebook. So Senator Crystal Brantley, Diamond for New Mexico is a website. If you want to reach out to me directly, my cell phone is regularly published online if you need to get and remember this, while I'm elected by the voters of Senate District 35, we represent all New Mexicans. And so in any way that I can help anyone out there, please call us. I have a great staff. You know, Joaquin Romero, mm-hmm. a great team that is willing to help. Any constituent services is really the best part of the job. I go to Santa Fe and we fight and we give them heck, but I really like the work that we do back home, and just, you know, connecting our constituents and assisting them with especially state government frustrations.
I'm so grateful you're here. Thanks so much, and we hope to see you soon on
Thank
the radio.
You. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you being here. We'll be back with Joy Junction and Alma Reynolds. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.